It's Throwback Thursday, and no, it's not 1998, it's 2017, and this is the new and improved Will and Grace, Season 9, Episode 2.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey!
I love
this song. I love Madonna, yes! It's a Madonna party in here! Hey,
let me free.
Hey, we could do like a Madonna karaoke. Rihanna, if you're down, we can do this. Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am your girl, Nakia Monet. And don't worry, I know you don't see Tim here, but he will be back next week. We're just going to hold it down for him. And
right.
Hopefully we do a good job and we make him proud. He's the captain of this ship, we're just holding it down for Tim. Guys, what's up? I'm Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. And I have amazing co-hosts with me, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hey guys, Crystal McLaughlin here. You can find me on all social media at Crystal823. And I'm going to go ahead and send it over to Sanders here.
What's up, guys? I'm Sanders Kennedy. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Just Sans World.
Yes! And we have another co-host who you guys won't see, but she's like our Will and Grace spiritual guide, Miss Brianna. Oh. Awesome. So we had an amazing episode, but before we start and get into the episode, Miss Crystal has an important message for you guys.
I do. So before we dive into today's show, we wanted to remind you about our exciting changes at our network. You may have noticed that Will and Grace now airs on a brand new YouTube channel, and that's because we're catering content to match your wants and needs of all our shows currently live on our content-specific verticals. Since you're a fan on our show, all of the content on this channel will be on AfterBuzz TV comedy and should be right up your alley. So hit that subscribe button right now.
Awesome. Yes. Good girl. Nice soothing voice.
Oh, yes.
Let the people know. The buzz is changing. So, wow, guys, this is the second episode. I mean, last week we did the first episode, and I will say, like, my friends, we were acting crazy because we were so excited, and, you know, I read some of the reviews, and they got really good reviews. How are you guys feeling that we're in that second episode of Will and Grace?
I feel good.
I
love it. I have to say, I like the first episode a little bit better than the second one. I'm not gonna lie. But I think it's just, you know, you need a couple episodes to kind of really get into it, I think. Maybe that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting used to the HD-ness of it. It's kind of like watching RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1. You have that filter. But now I'm like, wow, you can see their pores, but they still look amazing.
They do.
So I'm getting used to the whole new look of it, but I feel like it's exactly the same with the comedy and the timing of the dun-duns.
I love it. And I love that it's on Thursday because it's like an official Throwback Thursday.
Oh, yes.
Which is crazy because they all still look amazing. Fun fact that I actually looked up. So today's October 5th, 2017. Episode 3 of Season 1 aired October 5th, 1998.
Wow.
It was called Head Case. But it was episode 3, not episode 2. So I thought that would
be
a cool little fun fact. Like, it's weird that it's on the same date.
That's insane.
That's crazy. All right, so we have episode 2. So we start with the amazing episode. And we start with Will and Grace. Well, Grace is kind of there when she really shouldn't be there. And Jack. And they're having a conversation about what happened over the weekend. That they had a little encounter at the gay club Cockpit. Good old Will and Grace with the puns.
But that's the thing. Being from New York and going to gay clubs, there actually is a gay club called the Cockpit, but it's just take out the pit, and they actually have the rooster of like in the show. So there is a place called the Cockpit, but I just put the pit there so we don't get censored.
That's amazing.
In San Francisco, it's Studs.
Ooh. Okay.
That's right, San Francisco.
Yeah. Do I have a favorite gay club? Not a favorite gay club, but my favorite gay spot is my favorite gay brunch in New York City, Corte Intermezzo. It's in Chelsea. If anyone's never been there, it's literally the best place on earth. Drag queens, drag queens, drag queens.
Oh my
brunch,
God,
brunch, brunch, brunch.
So
that's like one of my favorite places. So Jack and Will, they talk about what happened at the club. And, you know, this is 2017, and Will, Jack, Grace, and Karen have grown up. They're grown-ups now, yes. And I'm going to say they're in their 40s now. And
they're very matured.
They're in the club with the babies, the millennials, the 21-year-olds. And someone made a comment towards Jack and said, the daddies always love me.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know.
So my question to you is, you know, we're at a certain age. Some of us were at that age. And I know I'm definitely at that age where now I'm a little bit older and I go out to places and I feel a little out of place. Have you guys ever felt that way before?
Hello, we live in Hollywood, but it's okay. I embrace my age. Are you kidding me? I love it because I know so much more now than I did when I was younger, and I would not go back. I'm so much more comfortable now than I was then. Yeah, so why would I change it? And I mean, it's part of this business too. You know, younger is always better, but really, I think we're like fine wine. The older we get, the better it is.
Oh, yes. I like being in places that's a little bit different from me, but I always grew up hanging out with the older generation anyway, just because being from New York, even though it's based in New York, their show. Well, growing up in my generation, we all were kind of, I'll speak for me, I was kind of mature for my age, but being the age that I am now, I'm happy that I got all those parties out the way and really learned. So when I think back, it's like,
really,
I thought
50.
I knew anything. I know everything. And like, I didn't know a damn thing.
Right.
So now I'm like, okay, kid, shush. You don't know anything.
It's funny.
Daddy says, shush.
Daddy says, be quiet.
Yes.
Poppy.
Ooh. I wonder if Jack would have felt better if he was called Poppy instead of Daddy.
Yeah. Totally. That's so much more sexier.
So we see that the guys are talking about what's going on, and Jack feels a little out of place because he's called a daddy. And I actually like this episode because if you read a lot of reviews, people were like, oh, Will and Grace is coming back, 2017, will they be up to date? They're a little bit older. So I actually like this episode because it shows that, yeah, the show came on almost 20 years ago. Now they're here, and now they have to live in the world with millennials, which I think all of us go through with aging, and we have that problem. So I love that the show showcased that.
Yes. Absolutely.
First of all, we're all 21 here, so we just want to...
Hello.
We're never aging.
Which that's what... I kind of got annoyed watching the show. It was funny, but just watching the Blake, the 23-year-old,
yes,
he annoyed me so much. I just like... And I'm only a few years older than him. It was just like...
Blake was a pain in the ass. So we have Blake, who is played by Ben Platt, who a lot of people don't know. If he is from Pitch Perfect. Really cute actor.
Right.
So he plays the little 23-year-old that was born in 1994.
Oh, my God.
When I was watching this, it's so crazy because when I was that age, there were people older than me. And I'd be like, oh, man, it's going to take me forever until I get to where I am now. Now I'm where I am now. And I'm like, Jesus.
Yep.
Correct. So I felt like Will and Jack at this moment. I'm like, damn, is this what it's like when you're older and you feel out of place?
Well, you put yourself in places where you feel out of place. You got to hang out with the people who think like you.
Yeah.
Well, they're in their 40s, so I think they can probably hang out with someone probably as young as 32 and up to still feel like young, but not too young where it's like you need ID.
Yeah. We got to be able to drink together.
I mean, my grandma used to always hang out with people that were much younger than her. Even when she was like in her 80s, she hung out with like 50-year-olds.
So I think
that's really important. Yeah, to just kind of like pick whoever you feel comfortable with. I don't think they felt comfortable with the younger crowd, and so I think that's why they were uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I also think it's like a big gap because now you have the millennials and then you have the generation after this, and some of the millennials, it's just so different because it's cell phones and it's internet and it's weird talk that someone who's 40 may be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I also, guys, think just that, you know, that's the whole age thing. When you're in your 20s and you're hanging out with someone in their 30s, the age gap seems so much larger than if you're 30s hanging out with someone in their 40s.
True story.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And what makes this episode really, really funny is the people who used to watch the original Will and Grace. Jack would make fun of Will's age all the time.
Yes.
Like, okay, daddy. Okay, grandpa. Yeah, you're old. You're older than your waist size. Like, he would always make fun of Will. Now, he's the daddy.
That's what I love because Jack does not know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
He's going crazy and he feels like, I cannot be in this world.
Yeah, it was kind of like that time where he fainted when he found out he was turning 30 and not 29.
Hey. I think that's how I felt. No.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
I'm not there yet.
9 months. I still have 9 months.
I'm 21, guys.
Me too.
I'm 18.
I'm 18 forever. So next, we meet Bridget, who is Karen's new maid. We don't see Rosario, but Brianna, you had a a really interesting fact about Bridget.
Yeah, I noticed her from the original series because especially, I can't remember the title of it, but it's when Karen's stuff gets given to Goodwill by Jack and she goes to get it back, and she was the crazy lady at the Goodwill or at the homeless shelter that was taking her shoes, and Karen bought her shoes back from her for $5.
Love it.
I remember that.
And here comes Bridget, and now she's back playing her new Irish maid. Mm-hmm. Rosario's taking some time off, and Bridget feels some type of way. Bridget and the staff of Karen, they want a raise.
They want that money.
They feel unvalued. They want the money. They feel like they've been putting in all the work, and Karen's just not giving them a raise. But she demands it, and then she gives it to her. So my question to you guys is, have you guys ever demanded a raise from your boss?
No. I probably should have. No, but I have gone into a new job requiring a certain amount.
Right.
I guess that would be kind of the same thing. I wouldn't take a job that I didn't feel like I was getting paid enough for, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. When you enter a new job, they're like, here's your offer. It's like, no, thank you. No, thank you. I would rather have 10,000 more. Yeah. It's like they always offer you your bottom. Yeah. So it's like you have to bring it up there. And
Know your worth.
Yeah, know your worth. And I know sometimes it's intimidating to ask for a raise, but if you can have the things to back it up, not just time. Like, I've been working here for 2 years. I need a raise. Like,
show me.
What did you do? Like, you have to have your ducks in order, but I guess you need your vodka bottles in order to get a raise from Karen.
I love how Karen was trying to, when she asked for the raise, she was trying to add up and do the math. Yeah. She was saying all types of ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Swordfish. She's like, carry the four, I'm still rich. Like, okay, Karen. Okay. Question, were you guys surprised that you didn't see Rosario yet? We're in episode 2, but we see Bridget, but not Rosario. Were you looking for her, or?
I don't know.
Well, being that I knew that she wasn't going to be part of this series, I wasn't really surprised. But I like that they got a new maid, and hopefully this one's a little bit more feistier and gets Karen together. Well, Lozaro is feisty, but it seems like Bridget's getting a lot more out of Karen than Rosario did in freaking eight seasons.
Okay. I was shocked that Karen, even though it took her 10 minutes to agree, she agreed for the raise.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, Bridget. What if Bridget, they bring the character back that she actually is the homeless woman at the shelter?
That'd be funny.
That would be hilarious.
That would definitely be funny.
So, you know, Jack and Will, not really Will, it's mostly Jack. Jack is going through his whole thing where he's been called a daddy and he cannot take it. So, of course, he goes to Karen's house and he tries to figure out what's going on. And Karen, of course, has a supply closet of any and everything to keep you looking young, honey. And Karen's words. So she brings out the Scrotox.
Yes.
Which is Botox, but for boys.
Yeah, rejuvenation down there.
For the boys.
For the boys.
Keep the boys looking young. How do we feel about that scene?
I think it's great. Because, you know, I feel like it's always about women getting, you know, injections and being nip-tucked everywhere. Why not the boys too? You know?
Exactly.
Let's bring them out.
Well, I'm happy to say,
only boy here.
Well, I'm happy to say I don't need it. So
no, you don't.
But I'm happy to know that it's out there. Obviously it's not real, but if it is real, 20 years. but yeah, I think it's funny how every little thing or big thing has something to have, help being fixed up.
I like that one. I like that one. It's so crazy because in today's day and age, especially us, we live in LA. So this is the land of I have to be young. I have to look young. I have to be fit. I have to be in shape. So it was really interesting to see
Hollywood.
This. Man, listen, we live in Hollywood.
We take sponsors.
For though it's the weight loss thing, and it's the tea, and it's the shakes, and it's the teeth whiteners, and that's just the LA life.
Yeah,
so it was really interesting to see this on the show with the Scrotox and the Botox and the creams.
Mm-hmm. And magnets.
And I really love that we got to see Karen and Jack have their moment, because we didn't really see that in episode 1, and I was really hoping for that. So they got a nice good 3 to 5 minutes to have their show. It's basically the Jack and Karen show for that 5 minutes, which I really, really love and got a lot out of.
I agree. A nice little bonding moment with those two, because they're hilarious.
I like the compression suit too. That was funny.
With the magnets?
Yes.
I wonder why. I guess they couldn't get spandex as a sponsor. Yeah.
They probably could not even say the word compression suit. So while Jack is going through his whole thing and trying to get it together, because he's going to definitely go back out and try to be back on the market, Will now has a date with Sir Blake, young baby, 23 years old. So Will is really excited for this date. Blake comes over, he opens the door, he greets him with a kiss, but weirdly, something happens that Will probably isn't used to. Blake is FaceTiming with his roommate.
Yes.
As he's kissing Will.
Yes.
Millennials. No.
And she calls him her dad, or mentions that he reminds her of his dad.
Yeah.
Of her dad. Yeah.
That's one of my pet peeves about millennials, and I'm like literally still on the borderline of being a millennial, is that everything needs to be on camera.
Yeah.
Put the phone down. Like, put it down. Yeah. Like, there's so
put
many,
it down, please.
Put it down. But
I
that's
with
true.
You, Sanders. Yes. I, is my biggest pet peeve when I'm hanging out with people and they are on their phone
yes.
the entire time. Rude. I'm like, do you want to just go home and I'll text you?
Exactly. And not just that thing. Is when they feel like they have to catch every moment to put it on Snapchat and tag you on Facebook so you don't get that job that you're looking for.
It's crazy. You know when I thought I knew it was crazy is when I started to see like crimes and people hurt and people were like snapping it, like someone got hit by a bus gosh. And they're snapping it and they're watching and I'm like, is anyone going to call the police?
Yeah.
That because I used to be on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm taking into account because I also seen a couple that was on a date next to me and the dude was just in his phone and I'm like, that is so rude. So I thought that was hilarious that he walks in and roommate is on the phone as they're FaceTiming as he's on a date. Who does that? So why is typical. A roommate with you?
Yeah,
it's so typical too of millennials to do that. And
and when, you know,
and they're kissing and they're having a private moment and then she's there.
And I think it would have been funnier if, like, Blake would have started tweeting during the day. It's like, oh, my God, he's, like, serving this kind of dinner. Or, oh, my God, emoji face. Like, like if he just kept tweeting
live
during the whole thing,
I think
that would have boosted it a little bit more.
But Blake does throw in a little bit of, like, the tweet words, throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you still cook dinner? That's so throwback Thursday. Mm-hmm. Or he throws a little shade at Queen Madonna and says she's so tired. And Will, because, you know, Jack was feeling a little unsettled and Will thought that he was off the hook because he didn't get called a daddy. And now that he's been called a daddy, it's starting to sink in for Will a little bit more. And now he's realizing him and Blake have nothing in common.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Guys, I would say don't date younger people, but I'd be a hypocrite. So we come back to Grace and Karen. And we had left Karen because Bridget had just asked Karen for a raise. So now Karen is reversing the roles and she's asking Grace for a raise.
Yes.
And Grace kind of feels some type of way about it. Grace feels like Karen isn't deserving of a raise. She tells her, you don't do anything at all. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, she doesn't do anything at all. I mean, we just spoke about this, like, know your worth, right?
I'm sorry, but Grace, I guess because she's a woman, she's allowed to change her mind. But if you want to go back, she keeps her business afloat. Okay?
I'm just saying.
So Karen knows she got her a job at the Oval Office.
True.
All right, so Karen does do stuff,
okay,
Grace.
Okay, you're right.
And do something with that hair.
Because, you know, the hats, they just don't look right.
Look like a cat in a hat. You know that one? But yeah, I think Karen does do something. She gives her the big names to get the big checks that Karen
That's
kept.
True.
Getting the big checks in the last few seasons and started putting them in a little container and never cashing them.
Exactly. And she's not
now
bad.
She wants it.
And now she wants it.
She's like, I pay you.
And now she can't be that bad because she hasn't been let go or fired, so she must be doing something.
Something right.
But according to Grace, Grace is like, no, you do not deserve a raise. And Karen feels some type of way about this. What I love about Will and Grace, because they do the whole back and forth, where you do like Will and Grace or Will and Jack and Grace and Karen. So that's what I love. So we go back. So Jack definitely feels some type of way. He wants to be younger. He is upset that he's been called a daddy and now he wants a second chance. He's going to this nightclub. So we see Jack going to the nightclub with the fake Spanx with the magnets, which looks like a bulletproof vest under Jack's shirt.
Yeah. Yes.
And poor Jack is walking into the club and damn it, he's going to meet him a new young guy and he meets Lincoln.
Yes,
the little cutie pie.
Named after the car.
After the car. Not the president, but the car.
Yes.
So they meet each other and they kind of hit it off.
Yeah.
Did you guys think that Jack would be able to go back to the club to try to, and he would definitely meet somebody or?
Anything's possible with Jack.
Yeah, Jack will do anything for the cockpit.
Me? Okay.
Definitely for the cockpit.
I thought it was hilarious when he went to go lay on the couch and he fluffed up the big pillow and he like falls over sideways and he's like super stiff. But that's so Jack.
It was stiff, all right.
Yeah. And I think that's what Jack's known for, his entrances. Like, yes. He always, the physical comedy's there, yes, with him. His physical comedy is sometimes way better than, like, his speech. So it's like, gotta look out for what he's doing. Even when he walked into the apartment, he's like...
His physical comedy, yes. His physical comedy is always on point, man. Yeah. That's what I love that about him, and I love when he had the magnets on, because you can see they got to test his physical comedy a little bit, because when he was falling all over the place, even when he went back to Will, and his legs locked because of the magnets.
And that's the first time his knees were ever that close together. Let's get into that.
I'm like, goals?
Yeah. It was also interesting seeing Jack kind of be insecure. Because he's always, like, out of all of them, he always exudes that confidence on himself, at least about his looks. Like, if nothing else, he's always confident about his looks and ability to get men.
Yes.
He's super confident. You're totally right. And I love, because that's mean. Like, I love seeing people who who fall. Love seeing people feel bad about themselves. No, but you're right. I love seeing him in that vulnerable space because... Age is, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Some people just get bothered about age. And sometimes they can be super confident and, you know, they can shimmy and do whatever they want. But sometimes someone may say something really rude or something may, you know, be really mean, and you may take things to heart. It doesn't matter how confident you are.
Yeah. We have a button that anyone can push. And if they find that button...
Honey, I know my button. Don't.
What's your button? Real quick.
I bring it back. I'm really confident. I'm a really confident person. I feel like Jack. But there are some times where I will say living in LA has definitely pushed that for me.
Yeah.
Coming from the East Coast, I'm super confident. To me, I'm like, yes.
You don't say.
I'm living the life, honey. Come to LA and I'm like, whoa. Yeah. This is different. Because it's so many things going on. And there's some... When you're living in LA, you will question yourself. Things that you've never questioned before. I've never questioned the way I look, my size. I'm a proud, curvy woman, and now I'm in LA, and I'm like, ooh, should I hike?
I hiked yesterday.
The only thing I'm questioning is, am I getting two donuts or one?
That's right.
That's all I'm questioning, because I don't really care, because I have that New York style in me where I just don't care. It's like... Do you want to take it back to, like, Marcy Projects or nah?
Oh.
Do you want to go back there? Because you don't know what that is.
Exactly.
Your project is the mansions.
No, literally. A lot of things I'm finding out about people in L.A. They're hooded.
Do you know what I love about L.A. is, yes, I agree with both of you, but I also believe that it kind of, like, pushes you to be healthier and, like, not necessarily like, oh, I need to look this way, but like, oh, this is what I'm going to eat and I feel better and maybe I will go for a hike. Not every day, but, you know, I might just go for a hike with some friends, you know? Yes. So I do like that push.
I wonder what the audience thinks, like, from the East Coast and the West Coast, how they watch the show and how they perceive it, because people in New York might see it way different from someone who lives in L.A. They might like, oh, yeah, that's totally me, like, because I felt like Blake was so L.A. I don't think guys in New York are that, like...
Nope.
They're a little bit more dope because New York is a little bit more harder on the street, so you have to grow up a little bit faster.
Yeah.
So I think I would love to see, if you want to leave in the comments or tweet us, let us know what side of the United States are you from and like how you
view that.
Because you're absolutely right. I remember having a conversation with someone. We were talking about the whole New York West Coast thing where New Yorkers really don't think about age as much because we're all just there, whereas the West Coast is a little bit different. So yeah, I would love to see like what the fans have to say in the comments, like, because when I seen Blake, I'm like, he has to go. He has to go. And that's literally how Will felt. Segue into Will. So Will is on his, not amazing date, but his cute little house date with Blake. And Will is not feeling Blake because Blake is way too young.
Yeah.
And Will gets a little upset because Blake doesn't understand or know the history.
He doesn't know his herstory. That's
herstory.
He doesn't know his herstory.
He doesn't know his gay herstory. Come
on. Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Stonehenge.
I'm going to take a brick out of Stonewall and hit him with it.
Oh, my God. So do you think it's important for people to know their herstory or history?
Well, definitely the gay community should know their herstory and know where they came from. And what Will was saying on the show is 100% correct.
Yeah.
He had to be over the top and stressful like crazy because that's what he needed to do to get through to make this generation so much easier to come out and have two parties, and it's so hard to choose from. Like,
exactly. I laughed because I think it's the same for anything. Gay, Hispanic, Black, Asian, Native American, just American people should know your history. Yeah. And I laugh because that's something that a lot of older people say, like, oh, we marched so you can vote, or we burned our bras so you wouldn't have to go through things like this. Yeah. So I'm happy that Will kind of gave him that history lesson.
Yeah, get him all the way together.
He's like, because of you, you can now wear skinny jeans. Yeah. And they compared their coming out stories.
Yes.
And Will's was the... My dad drank, my mom cried, and Blake was, well, they threw me a coming out party at the age of 8, which is what you're seeing now. You're seeing more parents getting it together and accepting their kids, but 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't the case.
No. Mm-mm. His biggest dilemma was that both his parents threw him a coming out party the same day. Like, what?
It's like us as women, like, when we, you know, didn't have the right to vote ever, always, and, like, you know, different races and stuff, like, taking all that for granted. It's that same type of mentality of taking something for granted, that's what pisses him off. It's not that he's pissed off that he has it easier now, because that's what we're trying to get to, but it's just not taking it for granted.
Yeah.
And appreciating it and knowing exactly how you got that.
And then knowing your culture, knowing where you come from, knowing the people before you struggled. I mean, that's stuff that my grandparents tell us all the time, like, especially, like, for African-American people, they're always like, well, we went out to vote. How can you not get up to vote? So it's little things like that. Like, these are the people who struggled before you. These are people who, there are people who were murdered. You know what I'm saying? For you to have your rights and for you not to care. It's a little touchy.
And it's good to know your history, because you can have a conversation. History, because you can have a conversation with people.
Exactly.
And not talk about Beyonce.
Exactly.
Like, let's talk about Lena Horne.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Let's talk about her. Let's talk about Diana Ross.
And I think that's the disconnect between someone like a Will and a Blake. Yeah. You have someone who's in their 40s, and you have someone who's 23. And I feel like if this was maybe 20 years ago, maybe a 23-year-old could have kicked it with a 40-year-old, and they could have had a great conversation. But now, because as millennials, and we're not just ragging on millennials, because I'm a millennial myself, but I'm in a different group of millennials. So
they're going to be taking care of us. We're in a nursing home.
Listen. So, you know, like, as a millennial, we're on the phones. We're not paying attention. We actually don't know how to have the conversation. So I like that Will was like, no, you're going to get this history lesson. You're going to get it good.
Yeah, because he's not a history puff, remember?
Yes.
I was like, wait, where did they meet? They met at the bar. Yes. Which is very strange, because you would think, I think it would have been a little bit funnier. I need to be a writer.
Yes.
If he was, like, on a gay app, sitting 10 feet away, be like, hi, how's it going? Because that always happens!
Tell us.
You can see a guy, like, I'm sure, like, on Tinder, you see a guy like, 10 feet away, hi, how's it going? It's like, can you just come up and just say hello?
Exactly.
Like, don't bother
me. Or they're texting you like, hey, I see you. Okay. Walk over.
Yes.
Well, I think it goes back to the whole thing of, like, people feeling insecure, you know, and not, like, having the confidence anymore to, like, do those things.
Right.
And we're constantly on our phones, and we're constantly, hiding behind a screen,
man.
You know?
Crazy.
Everyone does it. We're
obsessed with the phone. So coming back to the two ladies. So, of course, Grace is like, I'm not giving you this raise, Karen. Now they're stuck in the shower, and I believe Karen purposely did this with all her little code words. And Karen's like, I do have a safe word, but I cannot remember what the safe word is. When I was watching this, I thought she was going to say, my safe word is, I need you, Karen, because Grace did tell her, I don't need you. You don't deserve a raise. So that's what I thought was going to happen, but as we see something different happen,
Grace Adler. I thought it was hilarious. I do also think that she did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I also do believe that as well. And I think her being in that small little area made Grace realize, hey, guess what? I do need her.
I need you,
even
bro.
If she's being shady right now.
You're my friend. Karen,
yeah,
I
thought the safe word was, I love you.
Right. I love you. But Karen proved to her, like, I've been there for you.
Yeah.
I thought the safe word was poor people.
Poor people or vodka bottles. But Grace was really upset because that was her sex buzz kill word. Grace Adler. That can kill anybody's sex buzz.
Isn't that funny?
Poor people. Oh, my God. So Grace realizes that Karen has actually been there for her, and she's done really great things, and she actually did need her, and they kind of had a sister bonding moment.
Yeah.
And speaking about bonding, the dates are over. Will and Jack are talking about they need to start dating guys their own age.
Yes.
And they come to a realization as Madonna's playing in the background, but it was kind of like subtle. We need to start dating guys our own age, guys who we have something in common.
Yeah, we finish each other's sentences.
They're there for each other as they're getting closer to each other.
And they're like,
What is everybody thinking?
Oh, they're thinking about each other. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But they're not going to admit that.
But they've been doing that since it first aired. Mm-hmm. Like, they always played with the idea of Jack and Will getting together. From, like, massaging each other to waking up in bed and naked together and all those things. So I think... Do you want them to be together at the end? Like, let's hope they get another 8-10 seasons. Do you want them to be together?
Well, since we have to wrap up soon, we could do a quick Jesus, predictions. Yes. Losing my mind. A quick prediction. So the prediction question is, do you think, or do you want to see Will and Jack together? Or do you think they will ever get together?
Not right away, but yes. I think that would be fun. I mean, why not? You know, sky's the limit. I mean, I think they have such a good chemistry. They make each other, they complement each other well, like yin and yang. But I don't know. I think it would be fun if, like, they toyed with it.
Right.
With the idea, and then they maybe went and dated other people again.
Okay. Sanders?
Yeah, not too soon. Let it be, like, the end of the series, the real ending of the series, for them to be together, because they're best friends. Don't you want to date your best friend who knows more about you than anybody else, and you can think back and, like, see, like, oh, this is when I wanted to act you out. But like, I think their chemistry is so good together, and I think that's a great way to end the series. But I don't want that to come anytime soon, because I am loving the series, the season as of right now. Let that come in another 8 years.
Exactly. And I'm with Sanders. This, you know, this is such an amazing show, and I feel like it's going to be a great season. So we do not want it to end anytime soon. But guys, unfortunately,
wait, can I voice mine really fast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brianna, girl, I'm so sorry. I'm horrible.
I have an unpopular opinion because I do not want them to do it. To get together if anything, I want them to go on one date to try it out and it be terrible, and then find out they are better off as just friends.
About this? So to all the people watching and all the people in the comments, we're gonna do a poll. You let us know if you want to see Jack and Will together.
Yes
or no? Or do you think it's going to be horrible? Let us know. I'm sorry, Brie, I gotta be against you. I think I want to see them together.
I'm in the middle, so.
In the middle?
Yeah, well, because I said that earlier,
Okay, and then we'll ask Tim when he comes back next week. But you guys let us know. This has been an amazing episode. My amazing panel's with me holding it down. We're missing our boo, Tim, but we've been holding it down. Brianna, thank you again for always kicking it with us. Do you guys want to tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Yes, you can find me on all social media at Crystal, C-R-I-S-T-A-L, 823.
I'm Sanders Kennedy. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at JustSansWorld.
Hey, spirit fingers. Hey, guys, I'm Nakia Monet. You can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. Thank you guys for kicking it with us. And you can find us, AfterBuzz TV, on YouTube. We have a podcast because I know a few people were asking about that last week. So you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. And make sure you guys come back here next Throwback Thursday. We'll see you guys later.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.